The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, 9 months ago, my next guest, Georgie Crawford, was in Hollis Street giving birth to her beautiful baby girl, Pia. She's 32 and the entertainment's editor with Spin 103.8, which is one of our sister radio stations here in Today FM. Then 7 weeks ago today, she found a lump on her breast, and she's in the thick of a battle with breast cancer right now, but she's here to speak to me about it, and I'm very grateful that you came in to talk to me, Georgie, very grateful. You've got a very important message that you want to get out there, but take me back to the night that you found the lump on your breast.
Yeah, just when I hear you telling my story, I still can't believe that's me.
I know.
I think there's still an element of shock in everything that's happened. But yeah, so it was the middle of the night. Pia is still waking up for night feeds. And my husband, Jamie, fed her and was putting her back into her cot beside our bed. And she woke up and, as you do, dived out of the bed and leaned over to her. And my left hand fell against my right breast and it hit off this really, really hard lump. And I kind of just went, oh my God, what the hell was that? And I pressed against my skin and there was this big, big lump, kind of as hard as my thumb, just sticking out of my chest. And my blood ran cold and I just turned around to Jamie and I said, oh my God, feel this lump in my chest. And he went, and I knew by his face that he was really scared too. We got Pia back asleep and Jamie said, okay, come out, we need to sit on the couch and talk about this. I went out, I was like, I can't think, I'm freaking out, like, what is this? Jamie said, look, you've been breastfeeding, you breastfed Pia for 5 months, it's obviously just a milk duct or something like that. I went, yeah, okay, of course it is, like, obviously I don't have breast cancer. And he said, okay, let's just go to the GP tomorrow morning, we'll see what happens. Obviously didn't sleep. At 8:30 the next morning, my GP said, look, just come straight down to me and I'll check you out. So she was feeling around and she was kind of surprised where the lump was. So it's kind of, you know, down in the bottom left-hand corner of my right breast. And she said, look, you've had a baby, you've been breastfeeding. I'm sure it's nothing to worry about, but I can't not send you for a scan.
Of course.
So I said, okay, well, I was a little bit reassured by that. And she said, look, I'll send a letter to Vincent's. We'll try to get you in next week. And I said, look, you know, I'm due to go back to work in 2 weeks. I was so looking forward to that. I said, I've got the radio awards tomorrow night. So the program director in Spin invited me along and said, you know, it'd be a really good way for you to get back into the swing of things. Come to the radio awards. And as you know, it's a highlight of the year for many. So I was really looking forward to that. My first night away from Pia. And, you know, that's all I was focused on that week was the fact that I had to leave her. So I went home and I said, look, I can't wait for a week.
No, it's too long when you're in that situation. You just want an answer immediately.
Absolutely. So I rang around a few places and I rang Beaumont and they said, look, we've got a breast clinic tomorrow. Why don't you come down at 9:30? So I said, yeah, okay, perfect. I'll come down at 9:30. I'll get the all clear, run home, pop in the rollers out down the road
to Kilkenny.
And we'll be laughing about this tomorrow night. So I went into Beaumont and they did the ultrasound and she said, look, this is not a cyst. So I kind of went, oh no. Like, then she was checking my other breast. And like, as the minutes were ticking along, I was like, this is getting more and more serious.
You wanted them to just go, oh, it's just ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're a new mum. You know, everything you've read online about, you know, lumps in your breasts are true. It's nothing. And that wasn't coming. So they said, look, we're going to send you for a mammogram. So I said, okay, into the mammogram, which I'd never, you know, experienced before. I'd heard about it and it was fine. They were so nice to me out there. And the radiographer came back in and she said, what are you doing for the day? And I said, I'm going to Kilkenny. And she said, okay, well, you know, can you wait till 12:30? We want to send you for a biopsy. And at that moment,
you were like, I'm not going to Kilkenny.
Yeah. And isn't it funny that that's what I was focused on at that point? And then in a way, I was like, okay, well, this is grand because I'll get to put Pia to bed. And, you know, it's a blessing in disguise that I'll just hang out with her more. So I went for the biopsy and I just knew by the lady's face. The doctor was amazing. And I went home, and obviously my mum was freaked out because she couldn't be with me. She had Pia, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law. Everyone was just, you know, shocked. And
tell me about the lead-in time then from that day. Okay, so you knew that day, but then obviously there was a time frame where you had to wait for more news, or you had to wait to find out how bad the news was.
Yeah, so they said about 8 days.
Okay.
And I said, oh my God, how am I going to
function? That could be
function?
80 days.
Yes. And especially when you have a new baby, like you're awake for 23 hours of the day.
Every day.
So, you know, it's not like you can sleep through it.
No.
So I said, oh, there's no way I'm going to get through this week. I got through it because every time I went to that dark place, I was pulled out of it by my mum, by Jamie, by Julie, by my mother-in-law. And they would say, you don't have breast cancer. You can't have breast cancer. This is just something to do with you being pregnant and your hormones, and you've just got your period back, and, you know, this is normal. So that kind of kept me going. But I knew, Susan, I knew in the back of my head that I had breast cancer, and I was just trying to get my head around it.
Before
someone said the words, and I wanted to be strong for everyone else because I didn't want them to worry about me.
Tell me when that day came, when it was confirmed.
So the day came, they actually got my results back quicker than expected. The radiographer rang me and said, we want you to come in and we're going to do a biopsy on your lymph nodes. And I went, okay. And then she said, and afterwards, Professor Hill is going to have a chat with you. And I went, okay, that's more confirmation. And then she said, oh, and will you have transport? Will you have someone with you? And I went, okay, this is it. This is the day I'm going to find out that I have breast cancer, and I'm only 32, but I'm going to be okay. I'm going to deal with this. And once I find out that I'm going to live, I'll be fine. So I went in, and I cannot say enough about the care in Beaumont Hospital. Like, I was blown away by everyone, how much time they had for me and compassion. And they brought me into the room and they said, look, yeah, you have breast cancer. And I said, well, am I going to live? And they said, you know, this is very good. It's nothing too scary. You know, it's unlikely that you're going to die. And I said, but I listen to me. I can't die. I have a baby. I can't leave her. And they said, look, we're going to do everything we can for you, and we're going to get this out of you. And, you know, don't worry.
Georgie, let's go back to that day where it was confirmed. Your worst fears were confirmed. What could they tell you on that day, or what did you know then about kind of the journey that you were going to be on?
So they just said they were going to do the surgery. It was most likely that I was going to get chemotherapy, radiotherapy because of my age. So I suppose the next step was the surgery. The surgery went really well. And the next step for me then was to meet my oncologist in Beaumont, Patrick Morris. And I met him, and I said to Jamie, you know, at this point, people were still saying, well, you know, they might just give you one blast of chemotherapy. There's loads that you don't lose your hair. Like, don't worry, you'll be back in work in the new year. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's, you know, I have to think positively. Went in, and he said, look, we're going 20 weeks of chemotherapy. So I was so naive. I thought they'd just do it once and I'd be fine. 20 weeks of chemotherapy. My hair is going to fall out.
Tell me when that's going to start. When are you starting your chemotherapy?
So I'm starting my chemo December 15th. And they told me that your hair falls between 14 and 21 days later. So I was doing the maths. And I was like, okay, is that Christmas Day? I can't add either. But no, it's in my hair won't fall off until the first week in January. So that's good.
So you're trying to obviously take control of this situation. What can you do? You know, what can you do? You want to get better. You're going to do whatever you can to get better and be there with Jamie and Pia. Where does your head go when you're thinking of, okay, the first week in January, everyone hates January, but your hair is going to have fallen out by January?
Yeah, I, to be honest, I'm thinking of that day when everyone goes back to work after Christmas, and, you know, when you used to give out stink about it.
I know.
And, you know, you'd do anything just to have that.
To have that. let's jump back a little bit. We mentioned earlier on that you're 32 and you've got Pia and she's beautiful and she's 9 months old. Obviously, when people get this news, when they're a woman and they're or a man, but when they're the age in their early 30s, obviously adding to your family is a concern. And I know that fertility was an issue for you. And this is, I suppose, why I find your story so amazing and why I have so much respect for you. You've taken all of that in hand and you've decided to take a really proactive response to that. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing this weekend or next week. Tell us the plan.
Yeah, so they told me then my fertility has an 80% chance of coming back, which is pretty high. But you know, I know what it's like to be a mum and I just don't want to risk that not happening in my life again. So we're going to freeze some embryos, which is, I'm so thankful that I have a baby. I'm so thankful that I have a partner, because there's lots of single girls out there in their 30s that get cancer and they, you know, their only option is to freeze eggs. And, you know, the chances of getting pregnant for just freezing eggs is much lower than an embryo. So we're in Beacon Fertility at the moment, in the midst of all that. And we are going to freeze embryos next week, hopefully. So they can freeze up to 8 and they implant them back one at a time.
When you're better, which you will be.
Yeah, please God.
Now, the reason I'm talking to you, I suppose, is because after all of this happened, you put a post on Instagram and I was really taken aback by the fact that, you know, I think you feel like you dodged a bullet in a way because you found your cancer so early and you really, really, really have a strong message for young people out there to check their breasts. Tell us what you want to say to people this evening.
Yeah, so when I was diagnosed, you know, you ask yourself, why has this happened to me? And, you know, what is it for if I don't tell my story? If I don't, I watched a documentary on Netflix, Tony Robbins, and he said, life doesn't happen to you, life happens for you. And I've said that to myself 1,000 times in the last couple of weeks. Life happens for me. So this has happened for a reason. I'm going to shout this from the rooftops. I'm going to encourage young people to check their breasts, to book in a smear, especially when you're a new mum. It's the last thing on your mind. I mean, you want to go, if you're lucky enough to pop out and get your nails done or do the shopping or just
sleep for an hour.
Yeah, or just run away and hide something around the corner for an hour. But yeah, I mean, you don't have time. And I think making the phone call is the toughest thing, because I think when you have an appointment, you'll keep it.
Yes.
It's picking up the phone and when your baby's having a nap and just book in and go see your GP and get checked, because I thought I was invincible. It wasn't in my family. I breastfed, but look what's happened to me, you know.
So you're just, we talked a little bit about this earlier on as well, about like, do people know how to do it properly? And you made a really good point to me earlier about how, you know, we're all in the shower using our sponges or whatever. And are we actually really properly feeling our bodies, you know? And that's something that maybe people should take note of.
Yeah, like I wash myself with a sponge, then I get out and I spray on the moisturizer so I don't even have to get my hands dirty, you know? And I think I haven't actually touched my chest, you know, in a week. So I think it's really important to educate yourself, find out. I still don't know how to do it and I have breast cancer, but I will find out when I get better and I have time to look on YouTube or, you know, go to my GP and ask them how to do it properly. But, you know, just be aware, just have a feel, because, well, but my lump, I wouldn't have missed it if I had felt it. It was that prominent and, you know, that big. So I think just have a feel. And if I put it on one person's radar, you know, I will feel like, you know, okay, I had to go through this, but at least I helped one person. I know it's such a cliche, but that's what's getting me through this at the moment.
And Pia.
And my baby Pia, who, you know, makes me laugh and smile every day, and my amazing family and my brothers. And, you know, I can't, there's no option. I have to get through this and I'm going to be really strong and I'm not going to be dramatic about the hair thing. I'm just going to shave it off. And I'm going to get through. I'm going to power through this.
If anybody can pull off a shaved head, Georgie Crawford, it is you. Lots and lots and lots of texts coming in. Georgie, you are an amazing and super strong woman. Thank you for sharing your story, how lucky Pia is to have you as our mum. Something that I think we would all echo here and all of us here in Marconi House, and I know all the people who've gotten in touch, we are backing you 100% and we cannot wait to see you back here and work when you're fully better. So the best of luck to Jamie and to Pia and to yourself. Thanks for talking to us, Georgie.
And thanks for all the support from Communicore. I mean, I couldn't be, you know, have a stronger team behind me, and I love you guys so much, and I will. I'll be back soon.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.